Hello, and welcome to Roommating Habits, an auditory guide to sharing spaces. I'm your landlord, Pat Collins, and hey, guys, the rent is due.
I'm your top bunk, Matt Cremasco.
And as always, I'm your power bottom, David Byer.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to you, too. Another exciting week of Roommating Habits. Guys, last week, of course, love was in the air. It was Valentine's Day. How did you guys spend your Valentine's Day?
Yay.
Everybody here was sick.
Oh, God.
Except for my wife. The rest of us were all sick. She was fine. So it wasn't too exciting over here.
She was the lucky roommate.
Classic flowers chocolate. What'd you do?
Flowers. Yep, there were flowers. No flowers for me. Thanks very much. No chocolate. Well, there was chocolate in the house. But no flowers. And we had to cancel the dinner reservation because everybody was sick.
Where were you going to go?
Oh, we're going to go to no free ads. We were just going to go to a nice little Italian restaurant, a little downtown visit. But yeah, so maybe we'll try again this weekend. We'll have to see.
Play it by ear. How about you, Dave? Valentine's Day number one for you, Dave. What'd you do?
It's young love. So I went old school classic with my Valentine's Day. Only been dating for a month or so now. She said she never had the authentic Valentine's experience. So I went flowers, check.
That was fishing right there. She was fishing, hook, line, and sinker, and you bit. Attaboy, well done.
So I went flowers.
Did you get one of those 6-foot teddy bears?
God, no. But I did get I did get the tiniest teddy bear that Walmart could give me. Very tiny. So there was the flowers, the teddy bear. I got her a framed picture of us, the only picture we have of us. And I made her a CD, which involved me writing on the CD that had no data on it.
You made her a mixed blank CD?
Classic, baby. Because I don't think people don't listen to CDs anymore.
Yeah, how is she going to play the CD? Just out of curiosity.
I felt no need to burn it. So I gave her the classic experience.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Went old school.
Just a mixed blank CD. Ride.
And I guess we're not on a PG platform here. So, you know, we'll just say it won me some brownie points. We'll leave it at that.
Ooh.
Didn't even need the hot air balloon ride or the hand holding.
Yeah. So basically our advice is useless is what I'm hearing. So, all right.
Yes. All right. I saved some money and there was some hand holding at various points, I guess.
Ooh, point for Patrick. All right.
Thanks, Dave.
So, Patty, what'd you get up to?
Gentlemen, I got fingered. Yeah, there's this great gin distillery just outside of town that serves gin by the fingers. So you say, oh, I'm a three-finger G&T or what have you. So it's like this hipstered out dark wood decor, giant glass walls on one side so you can see all the workings of the gin distillery in the back. So, anyways, we had a lovely couple of drinks and some nice braised beef short rib and polenta and some mixed vegetables. And then we went home and I got fingered. So
how did you feel after all that fingering?
I felt pretty liberated, actually. It was, you know, gin is a very emotional drink. I know my brother-in-law will attest that it is, it certainly does bring out some strong emotions in oneself. So, I felt pretty good. We were able to, communicate more openly, a lot more crying than there usually was, over dinner. So it was lovely.
I don't think I've drank a good amount of gin since university.
No.
With good reason.
We went through a phase. Do you remember we went through a phase when we lived together, the four of us, and it'd be like family dinner night, and instead of beers, we'd have gin and sevens. I don't even think it was New Amsterdam, no free ads. I don't even think they make the gin anymore.
No, they don't. They've switched completely to this vodka train.
Yeah, I don't think they have that. I still have a little bit in the cellar from like 10 years ago because I think they stopped making it. And it was the only one we drank.
And well, New Amsterdam is on a train right now of partnering with podcasts for a to make a beverage. Yeah. So New Amsterdam, get at us. We got you coming back with the gin and seven and lime.
Make gin, your gin seven again. And lime. Bring your gin back.
Mm-hmm. Please. Please, please, please. So, all right. Well, it sounds like it was a good, good little V-Day all along, but that's not why we're here, guys. We're here to help, help people with their roommate issues, their stories, see if we can really just help some people out here. So, yeah, I'll bring us the first one here now, if you guys are okay with that. This is posted by a user on Reddit, Rojam18. Being in college creates a breeding ground for dumbass, crazy, not so funny at the time stories. Here are some things that I endured with shitty roommates. The people. Lived in a house with six other people. Many that came and went. Some that stayed for years. My girlfriend being one that was there all her years of college. One girl being the consistent drunk who invited her one asshole friend over daily, who would also get drunk and eat our food. The next would consistently have Tinder hookups, even though she didn't actually want that. Ugh. Another who had really cute dog and frequently got pissed at people for random shit. Another roommate who would accumulate 6 months of garbage and dirty dishes in a room at a time. And one girl who had a dog and didn't know how to take care of it. A lot of dogs here. Two dogs for six people? That's a high dog-to-roommate ratio.
Seven
for
people.
Young people. Seven people, is that what you said?
Six roommates, that's what I heard. Maybe I read it wrong. I heard it wrong, yeah.
No, you're right.
Sorry. Doesn't
reading
matter.
And math, apparently.
Either way, it's a lot of people. a lot of dogs.
And then my girlfriend, who just minded her own business and hung out with our cat. His name is Mark. Oh. Wow, that's a fucking Doolittle experience.
A lot to unpack there, eh?
Yeah, so I think that was just setting the stage. There's a couple of stories here. We'll just tackle one at a time. Number one. One night, my girlfriend and me were sleeping peacefully, and I awoke to the smell of something burning. Of course, concerning, I run downstairs to the kitchen and find that a pan had been left sitting there for probably hours, at the least, burning. Turns out it was the girl who frequently got pissed at everyone. She had left boiling water with noodles on the stove for approximately 3 hours. Glad I have a good sense of smell, I guess. Guys.
I mean, everybody gets one.
I've done this before.
Have you done? Okay, so sometimes you make dinner and you finish and you look over and you're like, oh, I left the burner still on or the oven's still on. This is like she started to make a meal and then just walked away.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Were you sober?
No. Yeah. No. Cold sober. I think it was just during my Metal Gear Solid phase, where I had to, you know, I turned on the pot for the good old box of macaroni and cheese craft dinner, and then you know go back upstairs just to you know either save the game or just make sure Solid Snake knew that I was going to come back in a few minutes to help him complete his mission of saving the world. And, you know, one thing led to another. Revolver Ocelot comes up. You know, Liquid Snake probably showed his greasy head in there. And, of course, you got to sneak around to the save points, too. So one thing led to another. And about, you know, 3 or 4 hours later, I think Zach came home, one of our roommates. And he got quite mad at the fact that I ruined one of his pots. So it was, yeah.
Didn't care that you could have burned the house down. He just was so mad about the pot.
And he owned the house too. He's worried about the pot.
I can't say I don't think I've ever done that. I've definitely overflowed a couple sidekicks in my lifetime, but I've never left it unattended that long.
Forgot about
that stage of the cooking process either.
No.
Okay, but I'm gonna go with everybody gets one. Like.
Yeah.
One, it's a little like ridiculous that she left it cooking at that stage, but everybody gets one. You know, I'm going to take a step back and this guy's got more stories. That's a big group of people and he has a lot of shitty things to say about all of them. Maybe we can listen to his stories, but I feel like this guy is going to end up being the person I hate the most end of all this.
There's definitely a bias to this. Like, especially
we're reading from his perspective, so.
For sure. And, you know, just the way he addresses his girlfriend, of course, being the one who minds her own business. I think not everybody. It's most of the time you're not the asshole in your own stories. So it's, you might paint yourself in a light that maybe some of your quirks get omitted from the story there.
He's got more you complaining about?
Yes.
Maybe we need to hear the rest of it.
Number two, the roommate with the asshole friend that would get drunk with her and eat everyone's food. Ooh, everyone's got one of those. Oh.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Pissed off. So this girl pissed off the girl that lived at our house. So she locked him out. Side note, this kid did live there at one point, but graduated and moved away and then came back, I guess. He felt entitled to the house still. So when she locked him out, he tried to break in for hours, banging on windows and doors. Now in a house full of girls, we never answered the door. But one of the other roommates, the one with a dog who shouldn't have one, left to go to work and ended up letting him in. He came upstairs to lay on the couch, and I told him he was being unnecessary, and he told me I was overreacting. I then told him to fuck off and never spoke to me again. And he never spoke to me again. He damaged the screen to one of the windows in the house and thus never replaced it. I should have called the police. End scene.
This is a TV show.
He's full on described a cast of characters with this scenario here. Well, not just this one scenario, but with this whole scenario of this whole, he's got each character labeled down, you know, you got the guy in the couch. And again, I'm guilty of kind of being this guy in this one. I graduated was in the process of graduating from my previous student house. And then Matt, I then moved in with you in Guelph, a town that was about 40 to 50 minutes away from where I was finishing. So I'd commute 2 or 3 days a week, commute to St. Catharines, where I went to school, sleep over there for 2 or 3 nights while I had some extra classes that I needed to graduate, and then come back for weekends. So, but I couldn't help but feel a little bit of that, like, I used to live here, even though there's new roommates living in my room, but I'm one of the old school guy. I feel a sense of alumni within the house itself. I don't know, should that have entitled me to those rights? What do you think?
Your situation.
In that sense, maybe, but I don't know. You're not, you were welcomed back and we were letting you in. It's not like you were trying to break in. Like, clearly this guy was not wanted there. This almost sounds like a story that John Walsh should be narrating. Like, it's getting pretty dangerous. You guys know John Walsh?
No.
Don't know the reference.
Is that the one who...
America's Most Wanted?
John Walsh? I thought it was the one who catches the pedophiles. That's a different one.
Who's that?
You know that show where they trap like the pedophiles with the online conversations?
Again, cheaters? I've been caught in that show too.
They're cheaters.
But it was an older guy trying cheaters. To come on to me. It was
cheaters. 2 a.m. on a Sunday night morning, 2 Saturday night, cheaters on Fox.
Cheaters.
Definitely not scripted.
Yes, absolutely. No. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's just this this guy on the couch's demeanor, I guess you could say. You know, you can't necessarily expect to be welcomed back, or you're not left with a sense of entitlement. You have to maintain that sense or that entitlement, I guess you could say, with things like, you know, I think the odd time I'd pitch in for beer, I'd bring food, I'd clean my dishes if I made any kind of thing, trying to contribute little bits where, you know, it was definitely, and I think I even contribute monetarily quite a bit as well. So it's sense of entitlement.
Yours is a little different though. Like you had really good friends in the house, even though some people have moved in, you didn't know as well.
That's true. Maybe,
I think that makes it a little bit different.
People to vouch for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all about like the rapport you leave. If you live there and you clearly they didn't want this guy there anymore, but if you're living there and you're taking care of your shit and stuff, like you'll be welcomed back. But apparently this guy was at the different end of the spectrum on the whole scenario.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
Okay. Give us the end. Is there more to this?
Yep. Last story here. Getting people to take responsibility for anything was like pulling teeth. Whether it was putting dishes away or taking out trash, it was a nightmare. When it came time for all of us to move out, part of getting each of the security deposits back was making sure that the house was ready for the next group of people to move in. The Tinder hookup girl moved out without as much as touching a broom. And of course, the girl who would let food and dishes sit in the room for up to 6 months at a time finally threw out her trash and filled up both trash cans that were there. That left my girlfriend, myself, and the girl with the dog who got mad at us for random stuff. We spent 3 days cleaning the house, hoping we would not have to pay for the cleaning crew and the landlord had available just in case. If he did, it would have cost us some of the deposits. Long story short, we contacted the landlord stating that no one did shit around the house, and yes, the cleaning crew was needed, but only in total cost us about 25 each. Years worth of trash and dirt, nasty bitches living there. Had we not cleaned, we wouldn't have gotten anything back. We got it all back.
Okay, so this guy kind of sucks, right? I think he has legitimate things you can be a little bit upset about. Like, you can be upset that you had to do more cleaning than the other people. Quite a bit more cleaning in this case at the end of the lease. Someone has dishes in the room for 6 months is just as gross. Like, fine. I think you just throw those dishes in the garbage and start over. But, like, he makes it. I think it's a he, right?
Yeah, sounds like a he.
Oh, maybe it's a she. It doesn't matter.
This is my girlfriend. This person, but yeah, it could be a she. Yeah.
This person makes it seem like this is like the worst thing in the world. Like the worst thing in the world. And it's not great. It doesn't sound like a super enjoyable environment, but it doesn't sound like the worst thing either. No. It feels like they're really like exaggerating how bad this was. Rattled, obviously, and it bugged them like to the core. But not that bad. Not that bad.
Objectively speaking, yes, not that bad. But yeah, subjectively, it sounded like maybe this person had a, maybe weren't quite used to, the odd dish being left around. Perhaps they came from an upbringing that was very, very neat, very, very tidy, you know, rightful, like that's to each their own. But that's a little bit of what, you know, living on your own at first is all about, is learning those things. You know, with how much money I think a lot of young people are, you know, myself especially, blew at the bars. If I'd have taken just a fraction of some of that, put it aside, and if an entire house did that and put that towards like a monthly, once a month, someone come in, clean the house, give it a once over, I probably wouldn't have as much fluid and dust in my lungs to this day that I accumulated from some of those student residences.
I don't know. I don't think you can trade. Don't get me wrong. That's not a terrible idea by any means, but you want to give up a night or two at the Friday nights at the bar for that? I don't know.
I retract my statement.
That's not when you're 20. Not when you were 20 years old.
That's when you just bring in the chore list. It's a simple solution. Like, just divvy it up, get it done. It's not that bad. There's like 1,000 people living in the house from the sounds of it. So you just got to divvy up the chores and get it done.
This person wasn't built to live in a house with 6 or 7 other people.
Maybe
if that was a poor decision.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe if the Tinder girl didn't feel like handling a broomstick because she's had enough of that through her Tinder experiences, you give her something else to do. She can maybe vacuum or something. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't have to sweep if she's uncomfortable with it.
I love that line too. She had Tinder hookups and she didn't even really want that. What? Can we dive into that side of it a little? And we can't because we have no other information. But it was like a funny side story that really had.
That does not sound like the Tinder that I was on previously.
Completely irrelevant to this person complaining about everything.
Yeah, I almost
didn't even really want it.
I almost feel bad for those people who are responding to those Tinder hookups now. Just like, well, you didn't really want. Well, then why am I here? What am I to you? Am I just a piece of meat
that
for you?
Even, like, how far does the date go that you don't like, you don't even want it? Like, I just swipe right just cause, whatever. We went out for dinner, whatever, just cause. Nah, we hooked up, whatever. Like, how far do you take it when you don't even want it?
When a bear's hungry, he'll eat. So
I don't know about this person. I think they were put themselves in the wrong situation living in a house that size and then staying there what sounds like 3 years.
Could you put,
like, I don't know, I'm
all of these animals to work? Could you do something like, I don't know, strap a little feather duster to one of the little doggies' tails and then tell them what a good boy they are? Get those tails a wagon. And like next thing
grasping,
you know, you got yourself a clean man.
Grasping.
The horses used to plow the field. Why can't the dogs sweep the floor?
Put on some, you know, some Disney music. Work for Cinderella. She got a couple of mice to craft her a whole dress. So why couldn't?
I don't like this person. I don't like this person.
They sound very bitter.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Like, you get into one of these situations, you got to expect it's not going to be what you're accustomed to.
Like, I bet you it was this person just bitching at their roommates all the time. And the girlfriend just sort of like in the corner, like kind of rolling her eyes and like mouthing, I'm sorry to everybody else while the back is turned, you know,
yeah.
Like she knows that he's going way too far and just like blowing up at everything. And she's just embarrassed. That's how I picture this.
Yeah. I wonder what that dynamic would have been like. It didn't sound like there was really any close relationship. This sounds like a lot of individual characters that this writer has posted, but what kind of, I don't know. This would be a good TV show. I would watch this, mm-hmm. I think, with these characters they've described, with the, you know, the person with the little dog who gets mad at everything. There's, what else in here? The person who brings someone over who just, there's no other information posted about that other person. So it's just kind of like a, oh, they're here again. Oh, hey. I think we got some characters coming along here.
I like this. We got a little podcast spinoff going on here, boys.
There we go. Well, speaking of podcast spinoff,
TV business.
I think we got a new segment in the house. So, Dave, what do you have for us?
So this is our new segment called Roomies in the News. And this particular story happens to be from Matt's and myself hometown of Guelph, Ontario. Let's get into this one. So the title of this story is 40-year-old man accused of bong attack on roommate. That's a hot title. So, on December 18th, 2019, police responded to an address on Janefield Avenue in regard to a reported assault incident. It is alleged that two male roommates engaged in a physical altercation over one of the males being too loud while playing video games. Oh boy. Oh God. I can see where this is going. The accused grabbed a glass bong amidst the altercation and hit the victim, causing the bong to break and glass to shatter.
Oh.
The victim was transported to hospital with injuries. At 11:24, a 40-year-old Guelph man was arrested for aggravated assault and assault with a weapon.
How old? He was
40 years old.
Keep going. Sorry.
He was further held for a bail hearing at the Guelph Police Service.
Did it say how old the victim was? I missed that.
It does not, no. But it's, I got to assume, well, I guess you can't assume, but 40-year-old was the one doing all the bong swinging over a video game. All of that over a video game. After the stories we just heard, some guys breaking bongs for playing Call of Duty a little too loud.
I wonder whose bong it was. Maybe it was the third roommate's bong. Then you have a whole other set of problems.
I wonder what game they were playing. Mm-hmm. Where were they that
definitely,
loud?
Definitely Grand Theft Auto. There's no way they weren't playing Grand Theft Auto.
Although we got pretty loud and pretty rowdy when we had the N64 hooked up in the garage. And, you know, we get to the point where Rainbow Road comes around. There was a lot of words that, you know, I wish I could take back. I said a lot of dark, dark things to you guys real loud, too. And I just wish that, you know, hey, I'm going to take this platform, use this platform now to apologize to all of you.
There's a list. There's a big list.
Yeah. It's like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison. I'm going to apologize to you now, and I'm going to put on my lipstick, and then I'm going to shoot some guy a little bit later on, and you're going to be real thankful.
I don't know.
You had that a little backwards, but that's okay.
It sounds like what you're saying.
Anyways.
This sounds like quite the personal attack. Like, I wonder, okay, like Kermaso said, whose bong was it? I wonder if he purposely chose that weapon because he knew it would be more personal.
He was probably losing. Real life, he was probably losing the fight. And he was like the movie desperation reach back for whatever he could find. And it was like, hello?
Yeah.
No, too soft. Like, TV remote? Not enough. Like, ooh, bong. Smash.
He had the time to go all Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This weapon is too soft. This object is too sharp. This object is just bong. And then
it's like a brick. He's like, too much.
So what do you guys like? Too extreme on the reaction or what? What do you think?
I mean, we weren't there. Who knows? Maybe they choked out. Like, you don't know. But feels like if that was the case, they both would have been going overnight.
Oh, God.
And they did not. By the sounds of it, both end up going overnight. So
I wonder if...
feels like a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, I wonder if that like... nullified the roommate agreement. Like, did they go back to living together once he got out or what?
Tell the landlord, I have to get out of this contract. Sorry, yeah. You got 8 more months. Deal with it.
Yeah, and you're going to lose your deposit because there is bong water everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, forget the glass, right?
Oh, that stuff.
Glass can be vacuumed.
There is no getting that stank out, too.
I like that one. I'm happy I don't live in that situation, to be honest.
Thank God.
I have no words of advice for these people. I think they know what they need to do.
Needs to, you know, headphones.
Valentine's episode, the other one comes home with headphones for his friend that was too loud and they hug it out, right? Like, that was what everyone suggested last week on the Valentine's rundown.
Just
headphones and joints. No more bongs, no more speakers.
Yeah, keep it light.
Well, speaking of advice like that, if there was, now this is off. Thank you for that segment, Dave. That was wonderful. I'm looking forward to more great headlines in the future. Thank you for that. But along that same thick vein, if there was one item that you guys could suggest to bring to a house to make like a happy roomationship, something to contribute to the house, what do you guys think that would be?
One thing.
If you had one item that you think would just like create a sense of social cohesion, a sense of, you know, you guys are all living together in the same space. Here is something to make our experience that much more enjoyable.
I'll date myself. When we were in school, it was whoever had a TV, right? Someone had to have a TV, but that was so different. That was 10 years ago when TVs cost four times what they cost now and we had no money.
And there was no streaming services. It was like a big deal
if someone had a flat screen, right? Remember that? God, we're old, but... I don't think that's the answer anymore. I think that's too easy.
The TV, yeah. That's a good answer, though. Yeah. Let's go more modern with it. I'm gonna bring my Instant Pot.
Instant Pot, nice.
Yeah. Family meals, you know, you're not just cooking a little pan up for yourself. You throw a bunch in there and you feed everyone. You do
less mess, too. Less mess.
Perfect.
Right?
You can even get liners for those where you can set in the liner and then you don't even really have to clean up too much for, I'm thinking more for slow cookers. I don't know about Instant Pots too much, but.
There better be like 10 free Instant Pots showing up at my door tomorrow for all this name dropping.
Yeah. Drop some brands.
Yeah. We'll get into affiliate marketing. Click the link in our bio for, an Instant Pot near you.
Yeah. What about you, Pat? What are you thinking here?
I got it. Toilet bowl brush. Toilet bowl brush.
From the dollar store?
It doesn't matter. Like, a toilet bowl everyone? Brush. You could just... Well, yeah, you're not taking it back to your room with you when you're done with it. No, a toilet bowl brush.
I keep mine in the kitchen.
Matt, can I use your toilet bowl brush? Mine's broken.
This is also the dish scrubby.
It's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother where they don't realize that the one toothbrush, they all think the one toothbrush is their toothbrush.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have been sharing a toothbrush this whole time? And they're like, yeah, was that weird? And then they're like, they ask the other girlfriend whose toothbrush she used. She thought she was using her boyfriend's and they found out all four of them were using the same toothbrush. Went into a lengthy explanation of that. The point was.
Yeah. But so I think a communal toilet brush, A, it's the appearance, the pageantry of it. You care about this, the aesthetic of this house. For when people coming over, you don't want some nasty stains. Even, and I'm not even talking about, you know, I don't want to get too blue on this podcast. That's not what we're about here. But even something like hard water, you know, you could just scrub off some of those stains if you treat it early enough. Get a little bit of that out there. So, and then again, if say, you know, the night at the bar, you had a little bit too much of the draft beer, maybe some broccoli and cheese poppers, deep fried late night. That's not really going to leave a nice residue on that old toilet bowl. So you taking care of that, taking that before anyone even knows, you don't even have to tell anybody, you know, it's your own little secret between you and this brush and everyone is all the happier because the next person that goes in thinks that they're just going into a completely unused toilet. Because if there was a way to make like disposable toilets, I think people will buy into that. Maybe that's the next $1 million idea is
patent pending,
of course. But it, to make the toilet feel brand new again, if there's a way to do that, or at least assist with that, that illusion that you are the first person to use this toilet in this, you know, 55-year-old house, then why not? It just makes
you know, I, yeah. you come in day one and you have a nice, like, big Tupperware container of like cleaning products and toilet paper and like essentials.
Yeah.
That's a big shot move.
Roommating
that's
habits.
A classy move. A classy move.
I agree with that.
Remember, okay, so sentimental, probably people don't care about this story, but when you guys first got your house in St. Catharines, the six of you, you had it for like a day, and then the weekend it would have been June. I think your lease would have started like June, May, whatever it was. Yeah, sure. June 1st, whatever, July 1st, doesn't matter. You guys got the house. We were going down for like the first weekend, and like there was nothing. Like maybe like there might have been probably even couches there, but it was like, we got this house, we have to go. We finally have a house, our friends, right? And you, Pat, I remember you walked in with a big thing of toilet paper, and we were like, oh yeah. Like, this house literally has, like, there's nothing in it, right? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, we need, you know, and it was like a genius move to come in with like a thing of toilet paper. But it was like, we're so young and dumb that like, we didn't even think that you needed that kind of stuff. But like, I don't know, simple answer. But what would we have done? We looked up at one point and be like, oh, now we're all drunk and there's no toilet paper and there's nothing in this house. I don't know. It seems simple. And I'm remembering old dumb stories and dumb thing. My brain works and I remember this dumb stuff, but I don't know. Fitting to the question.
It all blends into each other. I'm bringing the Instant Pot. Kermasco's bringing the toilet paper and Pat's bringing the toilet brush. It all good works to together.
It is.
It all works together.
Okay. So I have a game for us here now, gentlemen. Let's call it, it's today's chapter of celebrity roommate quotes. So,
nice.
Celebrity roommate quote. I'll make that into a song and post of some kind, I'm sure. Or not. So what we're going to do is, for today's game, guys, I'm going to read out a quote. You two are going to try and guess who said it. Now, I have two hints that I will provide you, one at a time, if you need them. Okay? You get, let's say, two guesses each. Sound good? Easy peasy.
Into that.
I have the best roommates in the world. It creates a fun sense of family, and that's really important to me. Things can get so lonely without it. That's the quote.
I mean, you read it like Kirsten Dunst or something, like the way you're...
I'll count that as a guess, but not bad. Not bad.
No, but like the way you were saying it, you're like a 20-year-old blonde girl.
I'm trying to
see you in the camera.
I'm trying to, I guess... and you have the advantage of being able to see those expressions and maybe hear a little bit of that cadence in my voice. I'm trying to give you a little bit of the hint in the character that I'm portraying.
All right.
What's the girl from Clueless? What's her name?
Alicia Silverstone?
Yes.
It is not her.
Damn.
So this is a, wait, so I this is a character.
Oh, it's a
this
character.
Is coming from, no, right?
It's like a celebrity. It's a celebrity.
Okay.
A real life
person. Are they talking about their kids?
Nope. Okay, first hint. Yeah. First hint. Shepherd.
Kristen Bell.
No! Maddie!
She's talking about her family, right? No? Or is this like an old quote? Like, this is...
I don't know, actually. I have the best roommates in the world. It creates a fun sense of family, and that's really important to me.
She's talking about her family.
Things that get so close without it. So, well done. My next hint was, needed an act of true love. Which her character, Anna, in the ever-playing movie Frozen in my house, needed, required.
I feel like you should have went with a forgetting Sarah Marshall hint, to be honest. But that's okay. We'll let it slide.
Fuck. Oh, the weather.
Shows your age that you went with Frozen instead of forgetting Sarah Marshall in the hint category. Not your age so much as your parent status.
Honestly, what have I become? Become the monster I swore I'd destroy. All right, number two.
Okay.
I'm not extravagant. I share my house in London with 5 roommates. I take the tube. I intend to stay the exact same person I always was. What a fun accent I did with that.
Every time someone does English, I immediately go to Hugh Grant. Obviously, it's not Hugh Grant. The first thing you think of.
Well, what makes you say it's
a British accent? You're talking about celebrity.
It was kind of, well, yes, okay. That might have been a little bit of a red herring as well. We'll see.
Is it, it kind of sounded like one of the Spice Girls, maybe. Scary?
Not a bad guess. Nope, not Scary Spice. Matt, do you have a guess before I drop a hint?
Yeah, my number two English guy would be Michael Caine, but I know it's not him either. So
female Michael Caine.
You don't know it's female. It's a female.
It was just
female,
flamboyant. Right? It was just flamboyant.
Sounded like it.
Okay, give us the hint.
All right, hit us with something here.
Hint. Listen up. Joker hearts.
That Joker does not hearts. Help.
It's and now it's definitely British though, right? Like you had the English accent.
Well, could it?
Oh,
it's just
Margot Robbie.
Oh, fucking Matt, 2 for 2. I thought these were gonna be fucking hard. Okay,
that was. Was that supposed to be like that was an Australian accent? Isn't yeah. she Australian?
Kind of. Not really. Not really at all. Oh, kind no. of. Okay,
Margot
number three.
Robbie with a British accent. Woo!
I'm not extravagant. I share my house in London with 5 roommates, don't I? And take the tube.
You sound like you're from London.
You sound like you're from London.
Not to forgetting Sarah Marshall. I told you.
Oh, fuck's sakes. I know. Okay, last roommate. I have always felt comedy and tragedy are roommates. If you look up comedy and tragedy, you will find a very old picture of two masks. One mask is tragedy. It looks like it's crying. The other mask is comedy. It looks like it's laughing. Nowadays, we would say, how tasteless and insensitive. A comedy mask is laughing at a tragedy mask.
I don't like this person. I don't care who it is.
Bill Shakespeare.
Bill Shakespeare for the win.
William Shakespeare on The Modern Roommate.
So it's okay. Not Bill Shakespeare?
No, that's one guess down. Okay, hints. Molting.
Nope.
Molting.
Nope. Molting.
Another hint.
Last hint. Affleck.
Jennifer Garner.
Sorry, say those again.
Jennifer Garner.
Nope.
Matt Damon.
Ooh, nope.
Okay, hold on. Molten. Jeremy Renner.
Nope. Molting.
Is it a legit Molting. Affleck?
Molting?
Molting.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Molting. Is that like a bird. A bird molts. A bird loses feathers and they molt.
A bird molts. That's what happens. A bird loses its feathers called molting. That's the hint you gave us. Encyclopedia Britannica. What does that mean?
You fucking nerd.
That's a half a hint. That doesn't even count as a full hint.
Well, you got molting, the other two so quickly
okay, so
there, Matt.
Ben Affleck when he loses his feathers. Oh my God.
Could be Casey Affleck. We don't know.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Well, of course. Ben Affleck is the evolved form of Casey Affleck. He needs to be touched by the acting stone in order to evolve and becomes, and only when you're a level 6 trainer.
Molting Affleck. Now, okay. Molting means when a bird loses its feathers. Affleck as in the actor's last name, or are you talking about like Affleck, that insurance company I hear the annoying commercials for? Because now I don't even know with you, with the molting.
Fine, I will give you that just because you're obviously struggling. The insurance commercial.
God, are you serious? That was the dumbest joke I've ever made. I was seriously joking about that when I said that.
Are you done?
Hold on. No, you gotta give us a second now. Because we were thinking Ben Affleck. And then when we said those actor names, you were like, ooh, close. No, Matt Damon, Jeremy Renner, those weren't close guesses. Molting and Affleck, the insurance company, nowhere near. We're not even playing the same sport right now. Okay, hold on. So the Affleck feathers. Thing is a duck. The Affleck commercial duck. Is a duck, right? Or a goose or a duck or something like that. Emilio Estevez, the mighty duck man.
King of the ducks, Emilio Estevez. No, incorrect.
I said Donald Duck.
I've always felt the comedy and tragedy are roommates.
If you look up comedy and tragedy, you'll find a very old picture of two men.
So he's right.
So he's got it. Yeah. No. No. Are you ready?
Hold on. No, this is going to bug me now. Hold on. Wait. No.
Our listeners right now are punching their fucking steering wheels. Just tell me the fucking answer.
No, because they don't know either. And they're trying to think of it. So you got to let them stay along for the ride for a minute because they're trying to think of it too.
Okay.
So much anger on the expressways.
Molting,
right now.
Aflac Duck, not the Mighty Duck Man.
Not the Donald.
Not the Donald.
While these guys are thinking, if you know the answers, send them in now to at Roommating Habits on Twitter with one M, Roommating Habits with two M's at gmail.com or on Instagram at Roommating Habits with two M's. Did that buy you guys enough time to...
This is going to bug me.
I think you should just give it to us.
Yeah, you're going to give it to us here. It's gonna...
Don't make us suffer anymore.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to ask... we should wait till next week to deliver it, but no, we don't have to.
No, I got to know now. I got to know now.
It's going to kill my week if I don't know.
Drum roll. Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried. Because he sounds like a duck?
Is he a gill?
He was the Aflac Duck until he got in some kind of social thing. I think he said something on Twitter or said something wrong. So he was fired as the Aflac Duck. Aflac! And then molting because of his character Iago in Aladdin. Look at me. I'm so upset I'm molting. Something like that. I don't...
Oh, something like that. So maybe he didn't actually even say that word.
Or something like that.
Something like that. I'm pretty sure he said the word molting in the movie Aladdin.
Look at this. Look at this. I'm so ticked off that I'm molting.
Not the new remake. I'm actually quite disappointed he was not in that, but that's a podcast for a different story.
I think you should make it harder next time.
Yeah. Make it.
Too easy, bro.
Molting, Aflac, go.
All right, well, yeah, you know what? Maybe I will then. And on that kick-ass note, you guys can go fist yourselves, and we're done. We're done at this. We're done with you guys.
I believe the theme of the show is finger, not fist.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me again this evening for another episode of Roommating Habits. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening. We're over 100 listens right now. That is so buck wild to me that people actually listen to these fart jokes that we're belching out here. Thank you again, everyone, tuning in for those over 100 listens. That is greatly appreciated. It's something that we never expected to accumulate so quickly. Big thank you to Marshall Dane for the use of his theme song, Come Back, from the album Running Stop Signs. I don't think I mentioned it last week. I put it in the show notes last week, but I don't think I actually put it in the podcast last week. So download it twice just to make up for that, please. If you have a roommate question, problem, or story that you'd like to share, again, please feel free to tweet at us at Roommating Habits with one M. We ran out of characters, that's why. On Instagram, we're at Roommating Habits with two M's. Or email at us, roommatinghabits2ms@gmail.com. And again, all of those can be found in the show notes. D-Bar, take us home, brother.
This one, joke of the week, is for our Harry Potter fans.
Yes.
Our Wingardium Leviosas out there. Let's kick it off. I thought my roommate was joking when he said Gary Oldman was in the Harry Potter movies. He was dead serious. They're not gonna get any better.
I'm Pat Collins.
I'm Matt Cremasco.
And I'm Dave Byer.
Thank you again, everybody. And again, don't be afraid to come on back, but not like that.
Come back.